Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Charlie Zimmerman, in for Mike Green. January is Human Trafficking Prevention Month. The challenge of combating this modern-day slavery of trafficking adults and children in Oregon is awareness. It often hides in plain sight. In 2023, the National Human Trafficking Hotline was contacted 461 times from Oregon. A third of those contacts came directly from surviving victims. To help us learn more about this problem in our own backyard and what we can do to prevent it is Erin Martin Fournier. She is the Director of Advocacy at Community Works. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you so much for having me on today. I'm excited to chat about this important topic.
Well, we're glad to have you. Let's start with an overview of Community Works and the work you do there.
Yes. So Community Works, we are the local domestic and sexual violence agency that serves all of Jackson County. We provide free and confidential services to anyone who is experiencing abuse, domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, or trafficking, and that does include both labor and sex trafficking.
And what do we need to know about human trafficking in Oregon?
I think some of the most important things to know about trafficking is, one, it is definitely happening here in our county and in our state. There's a lot of myths around trafficking where people think that it only happens in large cities and in underground industries, and that is a myth. We are seeing people who are being trafficked in our backyards here in Jackson County.
And what does that trafficking look like? You know, I've heard a lot about people being trafficked for farming and illegal marijuana operations. Is that something that you guys work with a lot?
Yes, we do see that as well. So trafficking is trafficking is a crime that involves exploiting a person for labor, services, or commercial sex. And those acts are induced through fraud, force, or coercion. And yes, we are seeing there can be illegal grows or even legal systems. We see trafficking in many places where labor is occurring. That can be restaurants, that can be farming agencies and organizations. There is trafficking in both legal and illegal organizations, unfortunately.
Okay, so the National Human Trafficking Hotline classifies victims into three categories: sex trafficking and what we were just talking about, labor trafficking, and a combination of sex and labor trafficking. Are there other forms we should know about?
No, those are the main forms of trafficking that occur. And again, I think the most important thing is to understand that those can occur both simultaneously and also separately. So some folks can be experiencing sex and labor trafficking, and also some people may only be experiencing labor trafficking. Oftentimes they can happen together, but oftentimes people think they always happen together, and that is not always the case.
And are there certain demographics that are more at risk of being trafficked than others?
Of course. What we see demographically is anyone who, you know, is experiencing some type of structural inequity. So that could be racism, gender, poverty. They've experienced abuse in their early childhood. Those tend to be folks who are more susceptible to being targeted by traffickers and manipulating those folks to be victims and traffic them, and making promises that they will have, you know, a home and a lavish lifestyle, and it's just a job. They're just making really great money and then making all these promises and then using, you know, those manipulation tactics and then turning to some really abusive and scary tactics to then keep those people under control.
So how does this happen so consistently without a huge public response and outcry?
I think one of the biggest things is it is secretive. You know, it's a very hard topic and people don't want to think about it. A lot of times people don't want to talk about it. A lot of times it's left off as, oh, again, it's happening somewhere else. It's not happening to my kids or my family or my friends. It's happening to somebody else. It's happening in other countries. It's happening in big cities. And I think it's just that kind of like rose-colored glasses, folks not wanting to turn and face these really hard, really scary facts that we are seeing in our community. I think that's one, and that empowers traffickers, that empowers abusers to be able to continue to inflict harm and manipulation on other people. Also, traffickers are very good at what they do. They are very smart, they are very manipulative, and they can manipulate anyone, not just the people that they are trafficking. They also can manipulate us in the community to believe that they are doing things on the up and up, or they are just being a supportive person, helping people get to, you know, get to a better lifestyle, or they're just running a up and up business when, you know, when you start to really dig deep and peel back some of the layers of what's going on in their business, you realize that it is a completely different story.
My guest is Erin Martin Fornide. She is the director of advocacy at Community Works. We're talking about human trafficking in Oregon and what we need to know to help stop it and prevent it. So what are the signs that we should be aware of that indicate the possibility that someone is a victim of trafficking?
I think some of the signs are when you are seeing folks or potentially out and about seeing people or talking to people, if those folks don't have access to things, such as they maybe don't have access to important documents like their driver's license or a passport. If they also are not able to, that can be a sign. If they also are, you know, just sharing that they're not, they don't really have access to their income. If they are sharing that they work many hours, but then they are consistently sharing that they don't have access to the income and the money that they have made, that is also kind of a little trigger warning in the back of your mind to be like, this is different. The work they do is something else. And it typically will be those kind of underlying things. There won't be, you know, another myth around trafficking is like, you won't see the people because they're chained up, they're locked up, they have a lot of bruises, and that, of course, also is a myth. These folks are allowed to, you know, leave their work sites from time to time, and they are out in our community, and so it doesn't look like that they're kidnapped and chained to a wall. So,
what should someone do if they suspect they've witnessed signs of a victim of human trafficking?
I think the most important thing is to pay attention to their surroundings, and I always encourage people to call the National Trafficking Hotline to put a tip in. That's a really, really great way to get someone potentially connected. We also have, thankfully in our county, we also have a really great law enforcement team. We have like the IMET team, which is a partnership. They do illegal marijuana enforcement grows, and that's a partnership between like MPD and Jackson County Sheriff's Office and I believe Homeland Security. And it's really great to also contact local law enforcement to give them a tip, because they also are really great partners with Community Works, and they take those tips very seriously.
So how does your organization help people who are victims of human trafficking who may not be able to, you know, pick up the phone and call and say, I need help?
Mm-hmm. So we are able to assist in a number of ways. When we connect with someone, so we are in partnership with law enforcement. So if law enforcement goes out on a tip and brings some people in, they work really hard to make sure that we get connected with us with a trafficking victim or survivor. So that's one way that we can connect with them. We can have an in-person conversation with them, let them know that we're here for them. Again, everything we do is free and confidential. And we also come from a place of a non-judgment. So a lot of folks who are being trafficked, they don't even realize that they're being trafficked. They are still in that stage of the trafficker has manipulated and tricked them so much that they don't necessarily know what they're experiencing. is trafficking and that it's wrong, and that there are other options. So we just meet with them face to face. We have conversation with them. We talk to them about, you know, we validate their feelings. We listen to them around what they're experiencing. And we are sometimes able to give them safe access to things. So if they want to leave, we can help get them into our shelter. If they want to relocate to a safe friend or family member, we can help with that. We oftentimes can also like offer 911 or safe phones just to have them be able to have some type of lifeline and a connection to us. And then from there, sometimes we work with these folks for months and months and months, and it's just, it might be a weekly check-in of just us coming and talking to them, kind of planting those seeds about how they would like their life to be different and empowering them to dream about that and think about that and hear about resources from us that could maybe make those dreams possible in hopes that eventually they would make the decision to say, I don't want to live this life anymore. I need to get out of this. And how, let's get me out today.
So how prevalent is human trafficking here in Southern Oregon?
It is, I would say it is prevalent. We definitely, so we are a part of the I-5 corridor. So that is, it is very easy for traffickers to set up dates for their victims and move in between, you know, like hitting a few hotels here in Medford and then going up to, you know, Portland and having a few dates and hotels up there and then coming back down. Last year, our last fiscal year, so 2023, July 1 of 2023 to June 30th of 2024, we alone, Community Works, served 94 people who were being trafficked in Jackson County.
And what is the journey for some of those 94 people? Sort of, I'm thinking more a couple years down the road when they're, of course, going to have some trauma. What does it look like a few years from now?
Yeah, so after they, the one really great thing about our organization is we work with people at any stage in their survivor or victimhood. So we can start with them before they even think that they're a victim of this crime, all the way to years down the road when they have been out of the life and are in a safe place, but they still maybe need some like emotional support. So we provide support groups for folks, also just check-ins. And those are always the really great check-ins that my staff share with me is they'll hear from a client that will just say, send a text and I'll we haven't heard from them for like a year and they've been out of the life for 2 years and they'll send a text that just says, hey, I just wanted you to know I passed my GED, or, hey, I just wanted you to know I got into this really great like program at this beauty school and I'm going to start my own hair salon business. And it is, so we're people, they do need some like long-term emotional support through support groups and having connections with people like their advocates to be able to hear from folks like, wow, you were experiencing this horrible thing. Someone was doing this horrible thing to you. And look at how strong and powerful you are and where you are today. It is a long journey, but it is an amazing journey. There are so many amazing survivor leaders out there that are out there sharing their stories, sharing how they have moved from abuse to healing and hope and thriving. And it's just, it's always so inspiring to us as advocates to see that journey.
We have about 30 seconds left. Is there anything else our listeners should know to help Community Works in its effort to address human trafficking in our region?
I think one of the biggest things to help is just educate yourself. Community Works is here. We do provide awareness and trainings on trafficking. We do have an event coming up at the end of this month, January 30th. We'll be showing a survivor-made film. So if anyone is interested in attending that, it's free. Please contact our office at 541-779-2393, and we can get you on our RSVP list. It is limited seating. And if anybody out there is just interested in learning more, please feel free to call us, and we would love to put on any trainings or share any other information with anyone so we can all have a large ripple effect for our trafficking survivors in our county.
All right, we'll put that number up on our website. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for sharing such great information, Erin.
Thank you so much for your time.